The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I want to welcome Marlon Wayans to the Dana Cortez Show.
Hey.
So first of all, sir, hold up. Before we even get started, I got a bone to pick with you. Last time you were in studio, before all this COVID nonsense, you said that I should get my husband a threesome. I am not feeling that.
I mean, what's wrong with that?
You don't want that threesome.
Last time you were gung-ho about it.
He was kidding.
Oh. Yeah, but I thought about it. You don't want it. The last thing you want in a threesome is don't do it with a girl you love because she going to get mad. Last thing you want in a threesome is to look over and see your girl crying.
Or having more fun than you.
Oh.
One or the other. You could look over. It could be two different situations.
Oh, no. A guy ain't going to cry about that. He's going to cry tears of joy. Like, get it. Get it.
No.
Oh, that's what that button's for.
Getting some lessons. So, Vaughn, I got to ask you a question because, I mean, now that we're done with all the silliness, you've done it all. You stand-up, movies, you know, everything. What's the favorite thing for you to do? Do you prefer stand-up or do you prefer acting in movies?
Honestly, I love it all. It's like, it's like a baseball player that could play every position. I literally love it all. But I will say the one that gives me the most adrenaline and probably pleasure and it's the scariest is stand-up.
Let's go.
Because normally in creativity, you get time to think about what you want to do and there's nobody watching you. When you're on stage, it's instant. Like if I did a movie, I can always reshoot. If a scene ain't working, I could re-edit it. I could try a different joke and then put it in. I could try different things in editing. When you are live, you got one time to do it. And if it don't work, you bomb right there.
So
right there in that moment, the pressure of hundreds or thousands of people watching you in that moment, like, be funny. And you got to be funny. That's an adrenaline rush. I don't understand crackheads. I would say do stand-up and you'll never touch crack again.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Why have you not done, like, a really serious acting role? You're a great actor.
He went for Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah, Requiem for a Dream. That's right.
I just did On the Rocks with Bill Murray and Rashida Jones and Sofia Coppola. And then I have actually a really great role in Respect, which is the Aretha Franklin biopic starring Jennifer Hudson and Forest Whitaker. I play the kind of the villain. So it's... And it's a romantic lead, but he's also the villain. He's her first ex-husband. And you got to see it. He's abusive. He's crazy. He's insecure. But he's also loving and protective. When y'all see this, they're going to be like, Marlon?
No, I want to watch it. Which do you find more challenging, to be funny or to be serious? I mean, that's comedy. A very complex role you're talking about.
Comedy. Let me tell you something. I got pain. We all got pain. If you give me an excuse to cry... I'm there.
Yeah, right.
I don't really cry. I take my pain and I turn that into smiles. I make y'all laugh at my pain, but the reality of it is I hurt too. And when I get a chance to like let it go, man, sometimes I'm crying in the scene and the director will call cut. I'm crying for 35 more minutes. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, not really. I haven't cried in 20 years.
You're like, obviously not, lady. Let me vent. Let me have this emotional moment.
Marlon, now...
I can't wait to watch a movie.
I got a question in regards to the writing. Your penmanship is something I really respect. And I know you got down with the 50 Shades of Black movie. That was your script. Is it more challenging for you to write a stand-up, you know, a full-length stand-up bit, a 45-minute headlining bit, or is it more challenging to write a full-length movie?
Probably the movie. Movies take a long time because it's a lot of figuring out structure and, you know, it's like you're thinking of jokes and you're brainstorming and there's a lot of research involved, but it's a lot of, you know, laying out structure and story and character. And it's a lot more detail than it looks. The fun about stand-up is I can come up with an idea, and then I go on stage, and I allow myself to perform in front of an audience, and I come up with more ideas.
Right.
So I'll come up with, like, a small nugget of a joke, and then I'll do a show. And after that show, I got, like, a funny-ass 15-minute bit on that. And then I got to keep working it, of course, but... my body's a pen, so or a brush. So when I get on a stage and it's a blank canvas, I just allow myself to paint and create, and the audience gets to watch that.
And with a movie, it's, you know, it's a lot more discipline. I mean, you got a stick, you got actors.
A lot more structured.
Yeah, and not everybody's going to be able to improv and ad lib like Marlon Wayans.
Yeah, right.
There was somebody, though, that you used to be really good friends with that I consider, I think he was a great actor, and I don't know what might have happened had he lived. You were friends with Tupac. May I ask you, where were you when you found out he passed? Do you remember that moment?
I was in Vegas with him. I just saw him. We was outside of the Luxor Hotel, and me and Omar, who did Juice with him, who's one of my best friends, and my boy Mitchell.
Omar Epps?
Juice with Tupac. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
My boy Mitchell, who said, you got the Juice now, man. And Juice, he's our best friend, too. So all three of us, when they was doing Juice, we went to high school together. So I would come up from Howard University to go visit the set of Juice and hang out with Omar, Mitchell, and Tupac. So we were all really cool. And then I did Above the Rim with Tupac, and we got really close.
Yeah.
And then what happened was the night of the Tyson fight, we saw him on the way to the party. We were going to meet him at that party. And we said, what's up? Gave him a hug. And then 10 minutes later, we hear he got shot.
What do you think was the difference between your life and his life that still allowed him to involve himself in those type of situations, and how you were way far away from that lifestyle? Why was he attracted to that danger?
I think my daddy's belt.
Okay, yeah, well, that's a good answer.
Yeah, the threat of my daddy whooping my ass made me not do a lot of dumb stuff, and it kept me out of a lot of trouble. And you know, and my mom. You know, mm-hmm. my mom often would tell me, beware and watch out for this crowd and that crowd. My mom was even like, look, I love that Tupac boy. I think he's amazingly talented, but watch out. Not him, but sometimes there's a lot of trouble around him. So you don't get mixed up in that. So as close as me and Pac got, there was always like a little bit of, if I seen people around him, I like hanging with Tupac by myself and Omar and Mitch, not with him and all the other hoopla that was around him.
Mm-hmm.
So not to say that Pac's mom didn't try to keep him out of trouble. I know she did. But Pac was the man of his house. So it's hard to tell a young man when he gets 16 and he get hair on his joint, it's hard to tell him, nah, don't go there. I got hair on my joint. I'm going to go where I want.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the absence of a father can really change the trajectory of a child's life, boy or girl. It really can.
Yeah, father's belt is very important.
So I'm going to lighten it up a little bit here.
What do you think of the state of Black America? Hey, now, we doing, ain't this a comedy?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'm glad you said that, though. I mean, it's not something we talk about a lot. No, but I think that he brings up a good point. I mean, as a Latina, I grew up without my father. I feel like, and I'm sorry, I feel like it's too easy for Latino men and Black men to walk away from women. And I don't think we should be afraid of saying that.
I think that we can do better.
Yes.
But you don't understand, like, for us, it's different for Caucasians, because, you know, they're not strapped with the pains of slavery and immigration like we were. You know what I mean? It's like we're coming from a whole nother starting place. There's a lot that we as Black people or minorities deal with. So we're playing catch up. So we're starting to understand that, hey, you got to be there for your children, because that's the way to raise the next generation to be
better.
That's
right.
So we just got to do better. That's all. But let's be not so hard on ourselves and understand. My people, I'm coming from 400 years of oppression. Like, the fact that I say hi to my kids is gold.
All right, I got that. And the fact that 90 million of my ancestors were killed, you're right. We've come a long way.
I want to lighten up the mood a little bit. So we've interviewed.
Let's talk about that menorah.
No,
listen. After I heard Dana's all these hardcore questions, Don't do that, Minaj.
No, it's not. I know that for a fact. So what I need to know...
Afterwards, she's going to be like, why did you look her in the eye?
Did you just kiss her? Did you kiss her?
Did you kiss her on the mouth?
Why did you give her the orgasm? Why didn't you... I tried to share it with both of you.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
All right. No. I want to know when we're getting an invitation to one of the Wayans family parties, because I feel like we've interviewed every single one of y'all.
We talked to Damon last week. We talked to Sean. We've been talking to
Sean. We've talked to Keenan. I feel like we've interviewed the entire family. Yet we don't ever get any love when those invitations for parties come back.
When y'all invite me in on y'all Minaj, I'm going to invite y'all in.
I guess we're never going to have it.
You see how this works?
That's never!
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
All right, so Complex Magazine has listed the best rappers by year from 1979 to today. We're going to drop 2010 to right now here inside the Dana Cortez Show. So Automatic Anthony A. 2010, Complex Magazine says Kanye West is the winner. Do we agree?
Yes. Yes.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. You think so?
That's his greatest album, yes.
Yeah. And it also, at that time, too, he was doing a Good Friday series, which a lot of people, like, kind of piggybacked off that idea. And, yeah, he was, by far, 2010 was the year of Kanye West.
Weird. It's my least favorite Kanye album, and I know that's very unpopular. They mentioned Rick Ross, Nicki Minaj, and Eminem. I have to say, Nicki, in my opinion, ran that year. That's just me. 2011, they say Drake ran the year 2011. Are they right with Take Care, his project Take Care?
This is when Drake finally became a superstar. Drake was a hip-hop star, but now he became a superstar.
So you agree with that number on the list. All right, they mentioned Rick Ross, Jay-Z, and Kanye West. Moved to 2012. They gave it to Drake again with his project Take Care still going strong. And I mean,
like I said, he's a superstar now.
And this was an exciting time too, because this also you have Stay Scheming. He did a lot of the cuts with DJ Khaled, and then problems with ASAP Rocky. You also see people challenge Drake for his throne this year, and he defended it very well.
Okay, they mentioned Kendrick, 2 Chainz, and Rick Ross that year, but we're moving to 2013, and K-Dot takes over. Kendrick Lamar is the best rapper of the year with Good Kid, Mad City. I agree.
I take back everything I said. 2012 was the year of 2 Chainz.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
He did have a great 2012, but I mean, 2 Chainz has been relevant ever since then. Really.
Yeah, 2012, though, that was the year when he got signed to Good Music, and him and Kanye were coming out with Mercy and all those crazy stuff.
No Lie was on the radio.
Yes. That was big, with Drake on it. Six. So 2013, K-Dot, y'all agree?
Yes.
Good Kid, Mad City, I do too. They mention Drake, Danny Brown, and 2 Chainz.
What happened to Danny Brown?
Okay, this list is bozo. I love Danny Brown. I'm a Bruiser Brigade. I love Danny Brown, but no way should Danny.
He was hot for a minute, though.
Where's Wiz Khalifa is the question.
Now, 2014, ladies, give it up for Nicki Minaj with the pink print. They say Nicki takes it. Do you agree?
Yes, by far. I think
all
she
right,
was.
Anthony,
she,
so you she, say
she,
yeah.
That was the year that she took her boyfriend on tour as well, too, Meek Mill, and she was selling out arenas by herself. She crossed over from hip hop to pop. The pink print is a staple in hip hop.
She ran the charts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And she can rap any of the male rappers under the table.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about that, but I do know when she's rapping and singing, she's amazing.
And honorable mention for that year, Drake, Young Thug, and Killer Mike. Now, we've reached the year 2015. Who does Complex Magazine give it to? We'll tell you when the list returns here on The Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Complex Magazine released top rappers from year 1979 to now, and what we're doing is breaking down year 2010 all the way to today. We just did the top 5. Now we have reached year 2015. According to Complex Magazine, that year was owned by Drake. If you're reading this, it's too late. Not to mention the project with Future, What a Time to Be Alive. Do we agree? Automatic and Anthony A.
I'm going to agree because he had back-to-back. He was going after Meek that year.
Yeah, not to mention, is that a world tour or a girls tour?
Oh, in the honorable mention category, they got Future, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole, which brings us now...
Hold on.
What?
J. Cole, 2014 was a great year for him. That was the year of Forest Hill Drive.
They got Nicki Minaj that year.
Oh.
You're hurting on that? What are you hurting?
Yeah, because Nicki Minaj makes Starships and the other pop songs. Those aren't hip-hop songs to me.
Whereas
J. Cole made a classic hip-hop album.
Well, let's come to 2016 and see if you agree with Chance the Rapper, Coloring Book, classic hip-hop album.
His best album by far. I love that album. I've listened to it 100 times.
Now, oh. Mr. Music Fact, DJ Automatic, J. Cole did drop the Forest Hill Drive album, but he did that December 2015. So his rise and takeoff for the album didn't really come out to 2016, which is why I don't agree with this. I think J. Cole was the biggest rapper of 2016.
Over Chance?
Over Chance, for
I'm
sure.
I'm going to go with you on that one, too, because
I
love both albums.
I might have to go with you all on that, too.
That was a classic from Chance.
Q-Tip, Kendrick, and Young Thug were mentioned
Q-Tip.
That year.
That's, and what year? I mean, I love Q-Tip. Who wrote this list? They've got some implicit East Coast bias on this list.
2017, Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly. Do we agree with that one or not? I love Kendrick. I'm not so sure, though, that he beat out Cardi B that year. I think you've talked about this, Anthony. And that's hard to say because everybody has such passion for
K-Dot. I think Cardi had one hot song. He had a great album.
And what Kendrick Lamar did for the social movements that were going on at the time. People were in the streets chanting All Right.
Exactly.
Singing for that stuff.
Different kind of movement.
It's a different type of movement.
Right,
but in my heart of hearts, there was nobody bigger than Cardi B that year.
This wasn't. I'm sorry. And Jay-Z 444, we got Future honorably mentioned as well.
Hold on. Anthony just said something. I didn't even think about it. Post Malone. What happened to Post Malone? Where is he on this list?
You just said East Coast implicit bias.
I don't think Post Malone has been the best rapper ever. He's always been a great songmaker, and he's been the biggest artist.
But no mention?
But I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Okay.
Keep that thought, because in 2018, they said Pusha T was the biggest rapper of the year.
Ugh.
I mean, he bodied
with
Drake.
With the story of Adonis.
He had a great album.
Ugh.
But was he the biggest rapper?
No.
He might have been the best rapper that year, but not the biggest.
Now, I'm a Drake fan, and I will agree that he beat Drake in that battle. Mm. But he certainly didn't win the war of the year. I just don't think so. J. Cole's mentioned Travis Scott, Drake. I think Travis Scott greater than Pusha T in 2018.
Let's go.
I can't. Yeah, that's true.
Opinion. Oh,
you don't think Travis Scott was bigger than Pusha T?
No, not that year. No way. He was still barely opening up.
Was that Astroworld or was
Astroworld was 2019.
No,
so it wasn't. Like Birds in a Trap.
No, Astroworld dropped in 2018. Check the date.
Okay, that has 5 billion streams alone. There's no way that Pusha T was bigger than Travis Scott that
2019,
year.
2019, we got DaBaby, according to Complex Magazine, as the biggest hip-hop artist. Is it bigger than Lil Nas X?
See, this is where I would put Travis Scott, because you're right. Yeah, Astroworld was released August 2018, but that rise again, you didn't see him really taking over everything until 2019.
No, dude, he ran the charts in 2018. He ran the streaming charts, and he ran the radio. He ran it all. Mm. I mean, we could go back. In 2019, they mentioned Young Thug, Benny the Butcher, and Freddie Gibbs.
There goes that implicit East Coast bias. Nothing but love for Benny the Butcher, but no, he was not running anything anywhere.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right? Because you got to also mention, I mean, you talk about Nipsey Hussle in that year, too, as well. So, yeah.
And I mean, and I hate to say this, and he is from the East Coast, but I know they'll like him. Tekashi had a bigger year than Benny the Butcher.
You're mad, I'm back.
I mean, he had more
love
impact.
Love or hate him.
More impact.
Love him or hate him. And in 2020, Complex says Lil Baby is the biggest hip-hop artist of that year. Yes or no, of last year?
Easy, for sure.
You think Lil
100%,
Baby's
yes.
Okay, well, they honorably mentioned Freddie Gibbs, Lil Uzi Vert, Benny the Butcher again. But I just wanted to say, I got to mention Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny just stepped on the scene in 2017. He is now the biggest selling artist in the world. He had the biggest selling release
of
last year.
The thing is we're talking about hip-hop.
Spanish music.
You're talking about Latin trap.
Latin
trap is a subgenre of hip-hop, but we're talking about hip-hop. Talking about United States hip-hop.
It's Puerto Rico. It's the United States.
Okay,
research.
I said, it's a subgenre of hip-hop.
Guess what? We can pick whoever we want, and I'm saying Bad Bunny deserved an honorable mention
in 2020. Bad Bunny. You can give him an honorable mention on your part, but he's not a hip-hop artist to me.
He's totally a hip-hop artist. Check out the song Booker T and tell me different.
I believe he is a hip-hop artist, but I'm going to also give my nod for Megan Thee Stallion in 2020. And I'll also say that I do truly believe that Lil Baby was the biggest rapper and the most impactful rapper due to his song Bigger Picture.
All right, check the entire list at Dana Cortez on Instagram. It's in a story. Also, Facebook and TikTok, Dana Cortez Show. Press that like. Tell us who your top artists are. We'll be right back with more coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
DJ Automatic, Anthony A. This woman called the Dana Cortez Show early this morning, and she is not happy with either one of you.
I've been messaging you since yesterday.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what? I get a lot of DMs, especially with this weekend, so it takes me a long time to catch up. Are you good? You okay?
No. I let Chris go to the Super Bowl story, and he didn't come home till the next day.
Hey, is this Carolyn?
Yes.
Okay, you well, slow down. You didn't explain to me who you were. So you're the one that let your man go to the No Wives Girlfriend Super Bowl soiree with exotic dancers. Hold up, and he stayed out all night long?
I shouldn't have let him go. He said nothing happened, and then he just passed out, but I don't know what to believe.
You said he's a good guy, so why are you doubting that now?
Because he didn't come home. Has DJ Automatic ever stayed out all night?
Yeah, he has.
I mean, come on. Let's be honest here, though. It's not something I do a lot, and it's happened, but it doesn't happen very often.
Especially like if you don't really go out a lot, maybe you get a little too drunk, you don't want to drive home, risk that. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah, it's better to sleep at his friend's house than get a Dewey.
Well, I want to believe him, but the drinking, strippers, I don't know what to do. What should I do?
All right, before we answer your question, let me remind everybody why we're even here. Last week, inside the debate, she wrote me a message and said, hey, my man wants to go to this party. It's all guys except for exotic dancers. And because DJ Automatic and Anthony A said this, she was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to be cool. Go ahead and spend time with your friends.
My guy, this is your chance to stand up or she will forever rule every holiday going forward. Make a stand, have some brass, and think, what would Tom Brady do? He would kiss another man.
Hold on, both of you step away.
Hold on. Right, I have something to say. Anthony, you've motivated me. I'm excusing myself from this case. We're going to the party. Party time, y'all. Party time.
It's your fault, DJ Automatic and Anthony A, that her man stayed out all night.
Wait a minute.
First of all, Automatic, you told him not to do it, and then you gave in at the end. You succumbed to the singleness of Anthony.
I was
going to
say,
Anthony
went and gave that Lombardi-like speech.
Yeah,
about,
dude. Second of all, that fool is spitting. Y'all listen to me? Damn, dog, that sounded good, dude. That sounded sick,
man. Well, the man stayed out all night.
Hell yeah.
So are we going to re-sign or are we going to release, ladies? Ooh, what are we doing? Ooh. Are we re-signing or releasing this man? Out all night? Yes, and you have done this, Automatic. I remember one time. And let me tell you something. I don't really give DJ Automatic a hard time. You're out DJing. You're doing your thing, you know. And I remember one night you stayed out late. You said you were going to go out with your friends. And I said, okay, don't call me because I need to sleep. And 3 months later, I don't know where we were. It was you and me and a bunch of your friends that had been with you out of town. And they mentioned y'all had gone to the strip club. Now, mind you, I don't mind that you went to the strip club, but you never even told me you went to the strip club.
I might not even have remembered I went to the strip club.
No, you did remember.
No, because remember how hungover I was.
You remember that. How convenient. But you didn't remember going to the strippy.
I don't know what to say right now.
I will allow me to speak for you. Brother.
Lawyer, please speak for me.
Sometimes when you're club hopping like that, lights are tricky. And if you're not a man who goes into a strip club looking for, you know, nasty things, I understand how Automatic was just looking at the lights like, oh, man, this might not
be
a strip
club. Oh, he conveniently forgot.
Yes, it happens.
Naked women in front of you.
You know what? You already know how cheap I am. You know I wasn't getting any dances. I probably got in for free.
I don't even care. But the fact that you didn't tell me, you omitted that. It's not that I omitted it. It just never came up.
Like, here we go. Not this. Not the kind of like a lie thing.
It's not a lie.
It was never a lie because I never said I did anything.
Exactly. You omitted it.
I forgot.
You did not forget. Just like this man didn't forget to go home. He stayed out all night because he was probably with another woman.
Oh, no. That's what you really think? Come on. That doesn't even make sense. He didn't do anything wrong. He just wanted to stay at his friend's house.
You weren't there. He didn't call her. He didn't come home. I say, ladies, are we releasing or re-signing this man? Break up or stay together? I'll tell you what advice I gave her when Girl Talk returns. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There's only a couple of reasons that a man stays out all night long. And that's exactly what happened to our good friend Carolyn here, because DJ Automatic and Anthony A, last week, inside the debate here on the Dana Cortez Show, you said, let him go. It's just all guys except for the exotic dancers. And listen to what happened.
I let Chris go to that Super Bowl story, and he didn't come home till the next day.
What you doing out all night when you got a woman at home? What you doing out all night when you know you're in a committed relationship and she's waiting for you? As far as I recall, the Super Bowl ended when there was still light outside.
Oh, there wasn't light. Well, it was already dark. But
barely.
Come on, Dana.
Dark is dark.
Yeah, dark is dark. I think that he was being a responsible individual, and he didn't want to drive while intoxicated.
Then
and
why not call? You can't get a DUI by picking a phone up and calling your lady.
You can't accidentally call your ex, though. You don't want to do that.
No.
Maybe his phone died. Phones die a lot.
Yes, they die, and nobody at the party had a phone charger.
Well, the reason he didn't call Uber was because he's trying to be safe. He, you know, COVID's going on and everything.
But you at a party with some strippers?
You can't borrow a stripper's phone charger, Dana.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. It costs you a couple bucks to do that.
Oh, imagine telling your girl that. Yeah, the stripper just let me borrow a phone charger so I can text my girlfriend.
I would rather have you do that than you not come home. Super Bowl ended relatively early. Okay, maybe it wasn't daylight. Can I get that much automatic, Anthony? Come on.
I mean, it wasn't midnight.
Okay, but you rolling in at 7:30 a.m. the next day? There's only two reasons why a man stays out all night.
I can tell you a reason why, because he doesn't want to. We've already been over it. He doesn't want to. He's a responsible human being. He doesn't want to risk driving, risk
sure,
lives.
Anthony.
But tell me why the woman, Dana Cortez, thinks that there's another reason why he should be out.
He also could have just passed out. I mean, he's drinking, long weekend, he just passed
okay.
out.
Okay, all right, so there's a couple of reasons. Number one, he's got bad character. This is just a bad dude. Mm. Seriously, there's men who do this on a regular basis. If your man is staying out all night on a regular basis, he's not a good person. Leave him now before you end up marrying it, and it's your husband staying out all night. You don't want that kind of man. And number two, he's just immature, and yes, maybe he's not used to going out. He's not used to drinking a lot, and that fool fell asleep. Now, you have to figure out which man you have in your bed. Is he the bad guy, or is it, you know what? I was stupid. I'm sorry. I drank too much. I passed out on the floor with everybody else, which I will say, automatic DJ'd a party like this one time. It was a bunch of married men, and they had some dancers there, and he said, these men got so drunk. Some of them were asleep on the floor. People were getting sick in a corner. There was nothing sexy about this party.
No, I promise you, nobody was getting anything that night.
The last Super Bowl party I hosted, I took the microphone home with me. So, like, it's just like Vegas level of intoxication that you can reach. I don't think this man did anything wrong. Stop overthinking.
Figure it out. Do you have a bad guy or do you have an immature man? Figure it out, and then that way you'll know whether you're going to re-sign or release. We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show after this. That's your girl talk.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We're going to debate each other. Who would make the best pizza? Me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, or Anthony A? Welcome to the debate. I know I'm going to win this because according to my ancestry DNA, I come from the Basque people.
Ooh.
Okay. So I actually have Italian in me. And knowing that, no wonder I know that my pizza would win. Sick. You guys don't stand a chance.
Where exactly are you from again?
Basque.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I just want to make sure you got that pronunciation.
You know, I was
right.
In a pizzeria with Elizabeth Warren over here.
Well, whatever. You know what?
So, anyway.
You know what?
Good little political joke there.
Don't go there. I mean it. I'm going to share my DNA right now. So, well, get ready for my delicious pizza. I'm beating both of you.
While you're sharing DNA, allow me to share my kitchen experience, if I may. I, Anthony Almazar, while in college, which I did not finish college, but while in college, I did work at a pizzeria, Old Town Pizzeria in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was literally back there every Friday nights. Wasn't the top chef, wasn't the worst chef in the pizza kitchen, okay? So
I heard they had you washing dishes.
Hey, early on, yes, Dana, but I did work my way up, and I was tossing pies and laying cheeses and doing whatnot. So I'm a little bit more experienced in this, not to mention your husband and his weird, he likes pineapples on pizza.
Yes, I do. And
yeah, I'm
also
not worried about automatic.
Okay, hold on.
Right.
I also work at a place called Pronto in Tucson, Arizona
that served
a delicious pizza.
A pizza place with the name Pronto?
Yes, it was Italian.
His name?
No, that was Italian, Dana.
Okay, all right.
They had Italian dishes there. I wasn't a cook. I was a server, but I would jump behind the line every once in a while and make myself some specialty pizzas.
Oh, really?
I'm going to start out with one of my greatest creations.
Hold up there, Speedy Pronto Gonzalez. We got to do that when we come back. You don't just throw the recipe out. You got to write everything down so we can debate who's winning this. And as again, since I come from the people of Basque, I am Italian. I'm knocking this one out the park. Who's got
you
the
You don't
better
even know
pizza?
What that means. Why do you keep saying it?
I just looked it up. Basque is it's near Italy. I'm not quite sure it's even in Italy. But I know I got that in me. We'll be back. Whose pizza will win today's debate? It's National Pizza Day. We'll share our recipes when the Dana Cortez Show returns.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Debating whose pie is going to take home the prize here on the Dana Cortez Show. Will it be me, Dana Cortez, because I am really Italian, according to my ancestry DNA. I mean, it's only 1%, but still. Will it be DJ Automatic because he used to work at a pizza place called Pronto? Or will it be Anthony A, who was the dishwasher at his pizza place? Who's going to win the pizza pie recipe. I will go first.
Oh, you're going to go first? So you're going to talk first and you're going to go first,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I'm going first. First of all, mine will be a combination of the Basque people.
What exactly is a combination of the Basque people?
Let me finish, automatic. Step away from the bench, sir. It's my turn. Basque people meets the Mexican people because that's really my DNA.
Oh, I thought you were Basque. Yeah. Are you from the Basque? So now you're conveniently Mexican again.
I'm both, according to my ancestry DNA. I'm going to make this delicious thin crust oven baked inside of a brick oven so that it cooks to the exact temperature, just like my ancestors did, okay, back in Basque. And I'm going to bake garlic inside of the crust. I'm going to sprinkle Parmesan on top before I layer my delicious spicy pizza sauce.
I never knew a pizza could be annoying.
And then I'm putting traditional mozzarella. And we're going to do to kick it up, we're going to put some asadero in there too, because that's going to make it taste good. Then we're going to layer pepperonis all over, jalapenos all over. Now get some basil ready, but before that, you put the pizza back into the brick oven. You cook it, and then at the last minute, put the basil on top and let it just cook and bubble up. And serve it. I win. It's over.
Nice.
I got to wake up from my nap from you talking about that pizza.
Well, if you guys are familiar with the McDonald's franchise, right?
Of course.
Yes, Anthony.
I don't think of myself when it comes to this pizza that I'm about to describe as the inventor of this pie, but I would like to franchise it. So while I was working at Old Town Pizza Parlor, my dog, Brian Watson, showed me the best pie that I think has ever been invented in the history of pies in the United States. We're going back to 1895, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, we got white sauce on it. Hello. Alfredo sauce instead of traditional marinara. Then we got bacon bits sprinkled across it. Hello. And you get a little diced up chicken bits and you sprinkle those across it too. And on top of that, you sprinkle
some... Where do you get this at? Olive Garden?
Huh? Dude, any good pizzeria, I'm not sure about the place you work, sounds like a gas station. But the pizzeria I worked at, we had fresh ingredients, okay, automatic. So, white sauce, bacon, chicken, and parsley on top. Of course, I'm New Mexican, so you got to put some ranch on the side. Hello. Bam. That's the Anthony A. pizza.
You might have been napping during mine, automatic. I was actually gagging during Anthony A.'s description. Automatic.
You don't like white sauce, Damon?
Not that kind.
Not, okay.
DJ Automatic?
That was kind of gross.
What's your pizza?
I am going to go with, I'm pretty talented when it comes to the pizza, you know, pizza world and from my creations, but I'm going to go with one of my more basic pizzas that I created when I was working at this pizza place.
Okay. Pronto?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken and artichoke hearts on a thin crust pizza. Let me tell you how good that is.
Artichoke hearts.
Artichoke hearts on pizza is highly underrated. Highly underrated. Anybody with any kind of taste buds and a refined palate knows anything.
This is just a tad bit worse than the pineapple pizza, but go ahead. Okay. That's it?
That's it. I keep it simple. Do you know why I keep it simple? Because it's tasty.
Artichoke hearts, dog.
Artichoke hearts.
Dog.
They're so good on pizza. You don't even know. Have you ever had an artichoke heart on a pizza?
I've had artichoke hearts, and it feels like I'm biting into styrofoam. All right? Dude, next thing you know, we're talking about, you want to put cauliflower in the next thing?
Or tofu.
Scott, dude.
I told you we should just eliminate him now. Vote on our pizzas. Who's winning the debate? Is it my delicious oven-baked pizza? Is it Anthony A's subpar white sauce pizza? Or is it DJ Automatic's disgusting artichoke pizza? Vote now at Dana Cortez on Instagram. All three are in my story. It's National Pizza Day. We'll be back with more coming up next.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
All right, ladies, imagine this scenario. And I'm sure you can. You're with a guy, you're seeing him, and you really like him. I mean, you are in your feels, but this man won't commit. How do you get him to lock it down? It's what guys think here on the Dana Cortez Show. And I was talking to DJ Automatic and Anthony A. off air before anything, because we got this call, and this is a question I think every woman wants answered.
So I've been sleeping with this guy, but I don't know if it's serious or not, because he talks to other girls, so I went and I slept with someone else, and I feel like I cheated on him, but we're not together.
I mean, hold up, though. You aren't committed. That's not cheating. I know you feel bad, but if
because you obviously like him.
You like this man, right?
Yeah, I like him.
Have you told him you like him?
Yeah, and like he tells me too, but I always catch him like talking to other girls.
Well, have you said, hey, can we get this committed? Can we lock this down? Or you think he doesn't want that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I just don't ask.
Well, you got to ask, but I'm going to tell you something. If he's not committing to you, you don't need to feel guilty about seeing other people. Don't put all of your, you know, faith into one person.
And let me just tell you this. Be safe.
Please be safe. Yes, girl.
Oh, will do. So I'll need one person.
Good reminder there, DJ Automatic, for her to be safe. But more than that, you got to protect your heart, too.
Ooh.
You got to keep it all safe. And she caught feelings, man.
You don't get warts on your heart.
That's what I call them, love gloves. Protect your heart, okay?
Please.
Can't feel it.
Please. But she obviously caught feelings with this guy. And I think he got a little feelings, too, because he's going back.
Okay, yeah.
You know, however, that being said, it's so hurtful when you crush on somebody and they are seeing other people.
Mm.
And I think she kind of did that as a way to see, well, maybe I can just get over this guy. She likes him. That's why she hit the phone line.
Yep. And that was, I think it was a bad idea for her to do that because she's just messing with herself.
Yeah, you're digging yourself in a deeper hole. She used a tester guy to see if she has real feelings for this current guy, and she does.
That's
have
why
real
she
feelings.
Feels guilty, right?
Yes, yes. So, man, but the great Jeezy, man, said, scared money don't make no money. She didn't have to open up that mouth. She said she hasn't told him how she felt, right?
That was the biggest thing out of that entire little clip is when she said, well, I haven't said anything. Girl, closed mouths don't get fed. You got to say something.
But you got to say specific things. You got to say a specific thing. You got to be wary of certain things you cannot say.
Okay, because you don't want to scare him off either.
Yes. Yes, there are certain things you can and can't do in order to keep that man.
So, for those of you who don't know, DJ Automatic is my husband. And there's more to the story. I had two children before him. I was married twice before. This man was what some women consider a catch. Never been married, no children, lived by himself, making good money, all of that. How did I lock him down? Can you share some of that with the people?
Well, when you put it that way, it makes me feel like you like pulled some kind of trickery on me or something.
Dude, I've heard you call
some kind
her
of sorcery.
Dude, I've heard you call her after the phone and automatically turn into a little puppy boy when he's talking to his wife. So he's madly in love with her. So I will say that she did tie you down, doggy.
She did. Yeah. And I know how she won me over.
I won you over. I like
it. I mean,
that.
You won me over.
And I
want to
say something real quick because I might have said something that might have hurt some women. And it hurt me too. Men would look at me like, oh, well, that's not a cat. She comes with all this baggage. No. I know who I am as an individual. And I brought positivity to our relationship.
Definitely.
Didn't I?
Yes, of course.
Why you pause?
Okay. Because when you said that, it reminded me that my dad, when I told him that we were together and we were having a child, he was like, man, she's got a lot of baggage. You sure you want to do that?
Exactly.
And so I will give you some advice on how to lock down your man because Dana obviously did something to me.
Yes, and guess what? Dad-O-Matic loves me now, all right? We'll be back with that advice, how to lock it down. Ladies, when we come back.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
All right, so ladies, you're feeling somebody, right? And you want to lock it down. Well, how do you get it done? The reason we're discussing this here inside the Dana Cortez Show is we got this call.
So I've been sleeping with this guy, but I don't know if it's serious or not.
Have you told him you like him?
Yeah, and like he tells me too, but I always catch him like talking to other girls.
Well, have you said, hey, can we get this committed? Can we lock this down? Or you think he doesn't want that?
I just don't ask.
Automatic, Anthony A, first thing, she doesn't ask. She doesn't say anything.
Got to say something. You got to let him know how you feel.
And it's very important for him to know how you feel because I've been this dude before, right? Where you're getting this girl, you have this girl here Monday through Thursday, that's fun, and then maybe on the weekends you got a nice little rotation popping.
But you do have to find the balance because you can't be desperate. And then the other thing is you can't be a pushover because that's incredibly unattractive.
Okay, Automatic, that's good. I'm going to ask Anthony something because we've noticed that you've been spending a little more time lately with one particular woman. And okay. I don't want to get too deep into that, but, you know, I feel like you like her. What is she doing that's got you kind of, you a little sprung, man.
It wasn't really what she was doing. It was more so what I was doing. I actually, Dana, I got catfished. And I got catfished. And if you guys are familiar with the Eddie Murphy bit where he's like, hey, you know, you're playing Russian roulette with your...
Yes, yes.
And that's what
yes.
I kind of felt like, right? I was out in the fields heavily. And I was just like, you know what? My time is up. My time is
start
up.
Start feeling dirty, right?
Yeah, I was feeling that. I had won too many catfishes for the year. And I was like, I'm out of the game.
One question. Okay. Did you put it on a catfish?
Sometimes the only way to get through a catfish is to noodle it, Dana.
No!
I'm mad. You know what I'm talking about, right, brother?
No, I don't.
Okay. So,
how can she lock it down, in your opinion, Ant?
Open and honest communications. And when you talk to him, you got to be specific about what you'd use and what you don't use. Stay away from what are we.
Desperate talk.
Do not use what are we. Instead, use what would you call this? What would you call this situation we're in? And okay. I say, don't use the word relationship. Use the word like situation because as a man, that's a trigger word. He's going to be like, oh, wait, she's not my girl? Mm. Okay. And then on that note, use some reverse psychology on him.
Okay.
Remind him, you're not my boyfriend. Okay?
Because
speaking as that man, I know it's fun. Open relationships are great until your girl gets knocked down. Then it's like, oh, dude.
Hold up.
That leads me perfectly into this one. He's got to know he's got some competition going on.
There you go.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Like, when a former NBA player who's going to be a Hall of Famer was after Dana, I was like, you know what? It's time to start taking this one a little more serious.
There you go, dude. I like it. I like it.
And I remember that you were so mad.
Oh, but that's when I knew I had some real competition. I was like, this man is a multimillionaire and he plays... Yeah, I'm not going to say who he is.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
And we ain't got to tell you how to do that, Queen, but I know you could do that in a classy way. You ain't got to be desperate about it, but you could do it.
That's how I did it.
But the most important thing you got to do, and this is what's going to make you be his woman, be his best friend.
Oh.
Be his best friend. Be there. Be the person that he thinks of, the first person he wants to call when he has something good happen, when he's got anything going on in his life.
Good,
be that
bad,
person.
Or anything in between.
Be his best friend, and I promise you, you will be his girlfriend eventually.
I do love that, because I remember one night, we were having a little argument. What was a big argument? I don't want to get into all that. But I wasn't speaking to Automatic, and he kept texting me, and I wouldn't answer him. And the last text, he said, I just had this most amazing thing happen, and you're the only person I want to share it with. And I still didn't answer him, but now we're married. And so I knew right then, though, that you felt like I did. I was like, this man loves me. I love him. We got to just break through this and come together.
And there's one last thing you can do, ladies.
What?
To keep him around. Get knocked up.
No! Don't say that.
Don't do that. I'm just kidding.
I got pregnant, but let me tell you, that's very dangerous, because if you're with somebody that doesn't love you and you get knocked up, it can go a whole other way.
Just please be honest with your truth and tell him how you feel. Yes. That's all you can do at the end of the day. And regardless if he's willing to accept that and if he's mad enough to accept it, if not, then move on.
And we'll omit that last little segment there, what DJ Automatic said. We're listing this now. It's up on our social media, Dana Cortez Show, TikTok and Facebook. Tap the like button at Dana Cortez on Instagram. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Should you stop drinking on Sundays? Yes, you should, but that's not happening today. So I'm going to give you three cardinal rules to remember when you're using a sick day that you're actually hungover for. All right, so welcome you two dudes.
One studio.
The recap segment of the Dana Cortez Show. And Automatic, when's the last time you used a sickie because you were hungover? Can you recall that?
I would never do anything like that. Or at least I would never admit to it.
You just come in to work feeling still a little like the night before?
Yeah, and I just make your guys' life a living hell. Because I'm horrible to deal with when I'm hungover.
Yeah.
Dude, the drop happens for you like midway through the show, dog. You just like turn into a different person. Oh, man. So the number one rule when using a sick day because you're actually hungover is do not speak of the hangover.
Duh.
Hey. Call your boss.
Solid advice.
Call your boss. Let them know I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to be able to make it.
You don't have to explain it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And if they ask for a doctor's note, quit that job. They're fascists.
Hey!
No, you can go to a minute clinic, and I'm not going to encourage anybody getting fake scripts, but you know, you can pay that copay and get your thing what you need to. All right, number two. This also piggybacks off of number one. Do not lie about the hangover. All right.
For what?
You're sick.
All you got to do is say you're sick. My stomach hurts.
That's
you don't have
it.
To explain
That's
anymore.
It. That's it. Dude.
There's laws for this.
And here's the biggest thing. All right. Do not sickness appropriate to the people who are really sick later on in the year.
Don't hit them with the COVID.
Don't do it. You don't need to do that. Not
I
at
think
all.
That's an overreaction.
And this one right here is the biggest thing to remember when using a sick day when you're actually hungover. Never, ever, ever, ever use a sick day after drinking with coworkers.
Ooh.
They will rat you out, especially if they're there and you're not.
And you're never going to get invited to anything else now because you're the party skunk.
Yeah.
Snitch ass. All right, y'all. Be sure to use those rules when you're calling in sick to work, and you should be good. If you have any other advice, please add the DA400, DJ Automatic.
Why didn't you tell us these on Friday?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.